Hey guys, it's Dan. Real quick before we get started, we are looking for more callers for future call-in episodes of The Sporkful. So if you have a food-related dispute or disagreement or debate with a friend or loved one, I want to hear from you. Please drop me a line, dan@sporkful.com. Thanks. Here's the show. From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful, Grapefruit Spoon Edition, Calls Show Edition. I'm Dan Pashman. I'm here with my friend Kenji Lopez-Alt of Serious Eats. He's the author of The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science. Hey, Kenji.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
How about matching cutlery edition? You know, like, you're the spork and I'm the little crappy plastic knife.
You're looking for something that's more referencing the fact that the two of us
are.
Maybe that's the way it should go, because I do like us hanging out and taking calls together. I was thinking more that we're looking for something that denotes that this is a special mini bonus. Okay, all right.
Something. We'll work on it.
I think this is something we're going to work on forever. I kind of like the idea of never reaching a resolution. So before we get to the calls, I would love to enlist a little bit of your help settling a debate that my wife and I have often. Can you help me with this?
Yes.
She is very anti-microwave.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a huge microwave proponent. Like, I don't want to cook foods in the microwave for the most part, but I think that it has its place.
Absolutely. Is she anti-microwave because she thinks it destroys flavor or nutrients or that it gives her cancer?
It's more of a natural issue. Like her big line, every time I want to microwave something for her, she says, don't microwave it. It alters the molecular structure of the food. That's what she says. And when you first hear that, you think, oh my God, is that true? That sounds horrible. Maybe I shouldn't microwave this.
I mean, I'd hate to break it to her, but there is no cooking that doesn't alter the molecular structure of your food. It all alters the molecular structure of your food.
So does microwaving alter the molecular structure in a way that is different from other more quote-unquote natural forms of cooking?
The microwave will penetrate up to like a centimeter or so into a solid piece of food. And so it'll very quickly heat up food from the inside, as opposed to an oven where the heat generally, you know, gradually goes in from the outside to the inside. But the end products that you end up are basically the same. And a microwave just does it more efficiently.
But it's not like zapping your food
It's not going to turn it into something that you
could plutonium or something?
No. Not any microwave I know of.
Okay.
A microwave is just a tool like anything else, right? I think it's good for some things, it's not good for others. There are studies that show that microwaving your green vegetables, for instance, you actually retain more nutrients by microwaving your green vegetables than by boiling them. Because it cooks so efficiently and because you're not leaching anything out into a big pool of water. So microwave vegetables can actually be, in many ways, healthier than vegetables that are boiled.
But so when you microwave vegetables, you are altering their molecular structure less than if you boiled them?
I wouldn't necessarily say less, but you're losing fewer things to the outside environment.
Okay. All right, I'll take it. Should we go to the phones?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Lynn. I'm calling from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Hey, Lynn, how are you?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
Good. I get Kenji here with me. And am I correct? We've got someone else on the line?
Yes, we have my father, Joseph.
Joseph, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing well. And where are you, sir?
I'm in Long Beach Island, New Jersey.
Okay, so you guys are, what, about an hour apart in New Jersey?
About an hour and a half.
Okay. So, Lynn, what's on your mind?
Okay, well, my dad and I had been to one restaurant where I had eaten a dish of delicious scallops. And then a couple of nights later, we went to another restaurant, and I ordered scallops again. And I ate them and didn't think much about it. But later on, a couple of days later, I was talking to my dad, and I said, oh, you know, those scallops at the second place weren't as good as the ones at the first. And he said, oh, well, you should have sent them back. And I said, well, why would I do that? There was nothing wrong with the scallops. I simply didn't like them. The preparation wasn't what I would have chosen. And they didn't wow me as much as the first scallops. And my dad said, oh, well, it's your right to send something back simply if you don't like it. And so that is when I wrote to you, because I thought that didn't make sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Joseph, can you please elaborate on your position? Why do you feel that it's always okay to send something back if you don't like it?
Well, I've been in the restaurant business, and I always felt that the customer is always right and that they're entitled to get what they like. In other words, if they receive a dish that doesn't taste right to them, then it is should be the restaurant's pleasure to receive it back and allow the patron to pick something else out.
And Lynn, why do you disagree?
Well, first of all, chefs can't account for individual tastes when they are creating a dish. And if they needed to do that, I think they'd be receiving a lot more food back in the kitchen. And there'd be a lot of wasted food. So I have an issue with wasted food, especially if there's nothing wrong with the food. There was nothing intrinsically wrong with this food. Now, I have no issue returning a dish if it's overcooked or, you know, there's something clearly wrong with it. But if it's just not to my particular taste, to me that doesn't seem fair to the restaurant.
Can I ask you, what were the two different scallop preparations you had at these restaurants, starting with the one that you really liked first?
In the first restaurant, it was scallops with bacon. And at the second restaurant, to be honest, it was not memorable, so I couldn't... it was not that memorable. I just know I was holding them up to the bacon scallop standard, and they just weren't meeting that bacon scallop standard.
Well, and that's another factor is that, you know, sometimes when I have eat a really good version of a certain food, and then days later I'm craving it, and I keep thinking back to that other meal, then I go to a different restaurant, and I'm like, oh, I've really been craving scallops since I had these amazing scallops the other day. What I've learned is then the scallops at the next place are never going to be as good because
exactly.
You're holding them to an impossible standard.
Or even because maybe they're just because they're different, not necessarily even bad. They're just different and they're not exactly
well,
not
that
what
was
you're thinking
of
in your
my
head.
Point. They just didn't wow me the same way. So when I explained that to my dad, though, his immediate reply was send them back.
Mm. Right.
So did you end up eating them or did you just kind of poke them around your plate?
No, I ate them.
You ate them. Okay.
I also am not one who likes to waste food. That is the cardinal sin. But I don't think that if she had said that she didn't like them and she sent them back, I'm sure one of the kitchen help or somebody would have probably ate that.
No, they would
dish.
Not.
That dish.
I've worked in kitchens. No food that goes back in the kitchen is eaten by anybody.
Not necessarily.
Really?
So.
I'm on Lynn's side. It probably would not have gotten... at least in my experience in kitchen... I mean, I've worked in many restaurant kitchens. In my experience, it probably would not have gotten eaten.
Well, I worked in a couple of kitchens, not as many as Kenji, and probably not as nice.
And it did get eaten?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes by me.
Well,
are you kidding? Untouched scallops? I'm not throwing those in the garbage. Are you kidding? That's like one of the perks of the job.
But you don't know who touched it. In the kitchen where I worked, it would have gone straight to the garbage.
In kitchens I worked, the waiter would have probably tipped it into the garbage on the way because they would have been afraid to show the chef that it was coming back.
Oh, one of those, yeah. I remember I used to work in a seafood restaurant, and one time we had a bunch of tourists came in, and they all ordered, this was in Boston, they all ordered whole steamed lobsters, and none of them knew how to eat the claws. And they ordered hundreds of dollars of lobsters, and they left all the claws whole on their plates. And we took them back to the kitchen, and we hid them in some like closet. And when our shift ended, we ate like kings that night. But so Joseph, you know, I'm sure you would agree that when you eat a dish and you decide how much you like it, it's not always just thumbs up or thumbs down. There can be a spectrum of different levels of enjoyment or dislike that you may experience. Lynn ate all her scallops, so she didn't hate them. They weren't disgusting to her. So where on the spectrum of like and dislike do you cross into acceptable territory to send something back?
It's up to your taste buds and whether you can tolerate the dish as it is as opposed to returning it. In my eyes, I always felt I'm the customer, I'm paying for this dish, and if it doesn't come up to my standards or I don't like it, I don't care if 9 people out of 10 liked it, but I didn't.
On a little unscientific poll I did on Facebook, of the many respondents, only two disagreed with me, and most said, of course, they would not return food.
Well, so that's not admissible in this court, Lynn, because Facebook works on an algorithm by which each one of your posts is only directed to friends of yours who are predisposed
to agreeing
with you on everything.
Ah, okay.
So that's meaningless.
You were shot down, Lynn. You got shot down.
Can I ask a question of both of you?
Yes.
Do you consider cooking to be an art? Like, do you consider a chef to be some form of artist?
Yes, I would say a chef is a culinary artist.
Yes, I definitely do think a chef is a type of artist. And as such, you wouldn't necessarily tell an artist how to make their artwork. And therefore, you wouldn't say, I don't like the way you prepared this dish, I want something else.
Kenji, I assume that you agree with Lynn?
No. I think actually a chef falls somewhere in between an artist and a craftsman. You know, somewhere between the house painter and Jackson Pollock. You know, so there is some artistry to cooking. But at the same time, I do agree with Joseph that a chef's primary, in the hospitality business, your primary goal is to make customers happy.
Kenji, what's your final verdict here? Where do you stand?
If there's nothing actually wrong with the food, you know, unless there's something that they really messed up, like they overseasoned it or they cooked it the wrong way, you should not send it back. But what I sometimes do is if I really don't like what I'm eating, but there's nothing actually technically wrong with it, I just happen to not find a flavor that I don't like, for example. Sometimes, you know, I'll eat it very, very slowly. And then sometimes you'll find that a waiter will come over and say, oh, is there anything wrong with this? And then when they invite you to comment on it, you can be honest and say, well, actually, you know, I don't really like the flavor. And I find that most of the time they'll very politely, you know, apologize and take it back and ask if you'd like something else. So I think that's an easy way to bridge that gap.
Right. That's good. I think that makes a lot of sense. I would say, yeah, I'm concerned by about a slippery slope here. You know, where do you draw the line? You know, if you're going to say you can return something just because you don't really like it, well, can you return something because you don't love it? Can you return something because it didn't change your life? You know, how great does something have to be before it's okay? And so that worries me, you know, because I think there are some people, and I'm sure Lynn and Joseph and Kenji and I, we're not these kinds of people, but I can see some people taking advantage.
Waiter, this burger was great, but it wasn't life-changing. Can you take it
right,
back,
exactly.
Please?
You know, to me, I think the rule is that if it's good enough that you can eat it and you're going to finish most of it, then you should eat it and be content. If it's so unpleasant to you that you're really having trouble eating it, then you can send it back. But if you're gonna clean your plate, then you shouldn't complain. All right. Well, Lynn and Joseph in New Jersey, I hope that at your next meal together, nothing needs to be sent back.
I hope not.
All right. Take care. Thank you so much to both of you.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Kenji, good time. Man in the phones with me, I appreciate it.
Thanks.
I think we made the world a little bit better today.
A little bit tastier. Yeah, I think
we brought some delicious justice. Kenji Lopez Alt, of course, Serious Eats, and his book is The Food Lab: Better Home Cooking Through Science. Thanks, Kenji.
Thanks a lot.
Before I sign off, have I ever told you about the WNYC lunch tote? It is a perfectly engineered lunch vessel. It's a small cooler. It's insulated but not bulky. It's big enough to hold a meal or a six-pack, but small enough to fit inside another bag. It has a side pocket that holds your water bottle or beverage. It has a clasp handle so you can clip it onto your bike or bag or stroller. It is amazing. And it can be yours when you support The Sporkful with a donation today. Get those donations in. Get that tax deduction before the end of the year. Support independent, nonprofit, public radio, WNYC. Our largest source of funding comes from you. So please chip in, get that lunch tote, or any one of many other cool gifts, like a signed copy of my book, a Sporkful live show poster. There's a bunch of gifts to check out. Go to sporkful.com/support. Again, sporkful.com/support. Thank you. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani, Shoshana Gold, and me. Editing help from Dan Charles. Engineering help from Irene Trudell. Music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Brusson from Edmonton, Alberta.
And I'm Susan Morville from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
And I'm James Nance from Knoxville, Tennessee, reminding you to eat more,
eat better,
and eat more better.